How do you prepare for the greatest event in human history? Hi, I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Fraser Church here in Montgomery, Alabama, and I'm excited to welcome you to Fraser 365. In this study, we're asking what it looks like to truly and thoroughly prepare ourselves for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is our hope that you come to a deeper knowledge of the gospel as we're challenged and encouraged in the days to come.
You're listening to Day 16 of Preparation for Resurrection. David Guzik said, "If God could call the dead womb of Sarah to life, He can call those who are dead in trespasses and sins to new life in Jesus." Our text today is Romans 4, 13 through 17. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be the heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be his heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations." In the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead, and who calls into existence the things that do not exist. Romans 4, 13 through 17 continues yesterday's theme of justification by faith through grace, specifically discussing the significance of faith versus the law in the context of the promises made to Abraham. God's promise to Abraham and his descendants was not based on adherence to the law, but rather on their faith in him. This portion of Scripture emphasizes the righteousness is granted through faith and applies to both Jews and Gentiles. The connection to Abraham is crucial, as he is often seen as the father of faith, and his relationship with God exemplifies how faith is foundational to divine promises. In verse 13, Paul asserts that the promise given to Abraham and his offspring was not reliant on the law because it had not yet been given. Instead, it was based on the righteousness of faith. Paul states that if the inheritance of God's promises depended on the law, then faith would be useless and meaningless. The law brings about wrath, as it identifies transgression and sin. Thus, Paul argues that the promise of God remains accessible to all who have faith. Verses 16 and 17 expand on the idea that the promise is received through faith to ensure it is granted to all of Abraham's descendants. Paul emphasizes that this includes those who are of the law, Jews, and those who share the faith of Abraham, Gentiles. By referencing Abraham as the father of many nations, Paul illustrates that God's plan of righteousness extends beyond a single ethnic group. This universal aspect of faith underscores the inclusive nature of God's covenant, which transcends cultural and legalistic boundaries. Ultimately, Romans 4, 13 through 17 reassures believers that their standing before God is not contingent on their ability to fulfill the law, but is instead rooted in their faith in God's promises. This radical message underscored the pivotal role of faith in salvation and community identity for early Christians. It encourages followers of Christ today to trust in God's promises and embrace the grace afforded through faith, establishing a relationship with God that is based on belief rather than human performance. This passage invites reflection on how faith shapes our identity and how relationship with God, emphasizing that righteousness, is a gift to be received. Paul closes out this section of Scripture with two incredible reasons why, like Abraham, you can put your trust in God. The God in whom Abraham believed gives life to the dead. Abraham had experienced this reality of God's power to bring dead things back to life when God fulfilled his promise and Sarah gave birth to Isaac. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born, and he and Sarah's reproductive ability had been dead for years. Notice how the writer of Hebrews defines their faith. Hebrews 12, 8 through 12 reads, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants, as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. God also calls into existence things that do not exist. This phrase highlights God's creative power and his ability to bring forth life from nothing. Not only does God have the power to bring things back to life, but he also has the divine capability to create life out of nothing. The God who calls us to place our faith in his promises is the all-powerful God who has both resurrection and creative powers. We should all be glad today that we are justified through our faith in God's promises and not in our abilities to keep his laws. Here are some questions to think about today. How were God's promises to Abraham connected to Abraham's faith? In what ways is Abraham an example for us of faith? How can verse 17 help strengthen your faith in God? Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.